The reading today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning at verse 37. Although he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And so they could not believe, because Isaiah also said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they might not look with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke about him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. Then Jesus cried aloud, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge on the last day. The word that I have spoken will serve as judge. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I speak, therefore, I speak just as the Father has told me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Tessa, thank you so much for reading for us. Shall we pray as we come to God's word this morning? Lord, we thank you so much for this day that you have created. We want to thank you for this church family that we are part of. And as we open our word today, we pray that you would speak through them as your word. And as your Holy Spirit inspired these ancient texts, may they come alive to us afresh and in a new way. Lord, speak to us by your Spirit, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, you might find it helpful to have the pew Bibles open in front of you, so that's the red Bibles at the end. And we're on page 104 of the New Testament sections of our Bible. Page 104, John chapter 12 and 37 to 50. Now, some people refuse to believe something no matter how hard you try to explain it to them. Have you ever heard of the Flat Earth Society? It's a group of people who, despite the evidence of thousands of years of science, still believe that the Earth is flat and is actually not a sphere. They simply refuse to believe the truth. I wonder if you've ever seen this picture before. Any idea who this is? This is a man called Haru Onoda. He was a Japanese soldier, an officer who for 29 years after the end of the Second World War continued to hide and fight and kill in the jungles of the Philippines because he did not believe the war was over. In 1945, Onoda came across pamphlets that had been dropped by the U.S. forces, and he simply said, the war is now over. Give up. And he refused to believe. So for nearly the next 30 years, he continued to fight, on the islands because he refused to believe the war was over. It was only in March 1974 when his wartime commander went over to the islands and ordered him to lay down his weapons did he finally come out and believe the war was over. Some people, despite the evidence, find it very, very hard to believe. And that's what we're thinking about today, to believe or not to believe. I'm sure you've heard the people who say to you, well, if only I was there, if only I saw the miracles of Jesus, then I would believe. But John reminds us that the many times people saw miracles, they didn't always believe. Verse 37 tells us, although he, Jesus, had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. Can you imagine Jesus seeing a healing? Can you imagine seeing a man who was lame or blind, who couldn't speak, who was deaf, and just by Jesus' touch, they were healed? Would you be convinced? Because thousands weren't. They saw all that Jesus did, and they would not believe it. They saw Jesus calming a storm with just a word. They saw Lazarus coming out of the tomb after being dead. And still, many refused to believe. It reminds us of way back in the Old Testament when Israel was wandering in the desert for 40 years. Do you remember he had rescued them from slavery? He had gathered them through the Red Sea. He had given them water from a rock. He had given them manna every day in the desert. And yet they still grumbled. They still did not believe. They still did not trust. How many more demonstrations of God's love did they want? And as we go back into the Gospels, often it's Gentiles, it's non-Jews who actually believe and see Jesus for who he really is. Often it's Samaritans, Roman centurions, people from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, Gentiles. They see Jesus, they believe, but many of Jesus' own fellow men and women did not. Most of the Jews didn't want a Messiah that would be all about serving and suffering. Did you see in our Bibles, verse 38, that the quotation there is from Isaiah 53? Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, that's one of the most famous chapters in all of Scripture, Isaiah 53. If you know Handel's Messiah, many of the words from that go into that oratorio. And let me read you some words from Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But the truth, that's not the Messiah the Jews wanted. They wanted the strong, muscular hero, whose kingdom is very much of this world. They wanted freedom from Rome. They wanted power and wealth in this world. A poor, humbled, crucified Messiah? No, thank you. Not very much for me. And so in our day, people don't want a Jesus that's all about following the way of the cross, seeing suffering as a way to glory, seeing serving others as the mark of those who truly believe. Many people today want Jesus, but a Jesus who will always affirm them, who will never call them to repent of anything. Many want a Jesus like a genie in the lamp, who answers all our wishes, but never calls us to account. But yet, some do believe. Let me read you verses 42 again. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. Some figures like Nicodemus, like Joseph of Arimathea, they do become disciples. Do you remember Nicodemus coming at night to Jesus? He's fascinated by this man. He understands there's something about him, but he's afraid. He's afraid. And who can blame him for being nervous? Who can blame them for wanting to hide their faith? But then at the end of John's Gospel, we see a very different story. Here's a wonderful painting of Titian. It's Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea who ask Pilate to take the body from the cross and to give it a decent burial, the last mark of decent respect and love and honor. And you can see the devotion on these men's faces. This is a disgusting job. It's dirty, horrible, gory. But it's an act of love. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they proved themselves at the tomb of Jesus. They loved him and they cared for him. And that raises an uncomfortable question for us. If we're honest with ourselves, do we love the glory of those around us more than the glory that comes from God? You see, all of us, we want to be loved. All of us, we want to be liked. But does that drive us more than the glory of God? I can think of conversations I've had with people and they believe in God. They even believe in the supernatural. They even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But what stops them from coming to disciple is the fact that it will become very hard for them if they follow Jesus. They think that work colleagues will laugh at them. Life at school or college might become much harder for them. It might even cause a rift in the family. But sometimes Jesus calls us to make really difficult choices. If we take a stand for Christ, for Christian values, there may be a price to be paid. Some will turn their backs on us, give us the cold shoulder. I remember going out when I was working in the city for a drink with friends after work one night, and my boss was there, and we kept on talking about what we did at the weekend. And I just said, well, I sort of did something in church. And then she just shouted me down and said, don't talk to me about religion. And it reminded me that some people, no matter what you say about God, will not listen to you. Some people will shout you down. They do not want anything of this Jesus. They do not want anything of this church. If you make a traditional stand for Christ and his values, there probably will be a price to be paid. If you stand for the traditional view of marriage, in some places that might give you a chance of losing your job, even accused of a hate crime. Saying that Jesus is the only way to God will somehow see us ostracized and condemned, even if that's what the church has always taught. Do we seek human approval or the approval of God? It's a hard question to ask ourselves, and probably all of us, myself included, have failed in that at some point in our lives. Jesus challenges us to live differently, but also to think differently. And at the end of our reading is a remarkable summary of Jesus' teaching, verses 44 to 50. And first of all, it reminds us that Jesus always brings it back to his Father. He does nothing without the approval and the obedience of the Father. He is not acting on his own behalf. He is from God and he only speaks words from God. And our life of obedience has to be modeled on that life of the obedience of Jesus. Jesus was not full of ego. He was not wanting to satisfy his own desires and wishes. He lived for others. Even in that Garden of Gethsemane, he took the cup of wrath, knowing that that would lead to the cross. He obeyed the way of the cross, for that was the only way for us to get right with God. Jesus cried out aloud, verse 44, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. Whoever sees Jesus, sees God. Whoever believes in Jesus believes in God who sent him. And this is especially important as we think about our relationship with other faiths in this world. If we want to see God, hear God, and understand about God, we see it supremely in the person of Jesus Christ. If a faith or a religion doesn't see Jesus as fully God, it's on the wrong track, and we must agree to differ. If a religion doesn't see Jesus as worthy of our worship, it's simply not seen eye to eye with the words of Jesus himself. And I know this is really challenging. For everyone around us pretty much says, no matter what you believe, it doesn't matter. As long as you are sincere and honest, it doesn't really matter what you believe. But Jesus says it matters very much what you believe. We might be tempted to yawn when people talk about theology. We might be tempted to yawn when people talk about Christian doctrine, about what we say in the creed every week. But these are the things that define us. What you believe makes you a Christian. It gives us a shape, if you like, a pattern to build our lives around. And people accepting Jesus is the most important decision they will ever make. More than if we will marry, where we will live, what job we will do, it is the most important decision of our lives. Verse 50, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. There can't really be any higher stakes than that. This is eternal life. He does not come to save us. He comes, to save us, not condemn us. Some people think that Christianity is there to wring all the color and beauty and wonderful things out of life. Not so. Jesus comes to bring comfort and meaning and joy. Following Jesus and serving him brings freedom. It's what we're made for. And millions of Christians around the world would testify to that truth. Following Jesus means he turns the light on. He brings hope into despair. He brings peace into conflict. He brings meaning into chaos. Jesus is the light shining in the darkness. And I still hope we have confidence in that truth, that people around us need to see Jesus as the light. In 1 year's time, in September, we're going to have our parish mission called Seeds of Faith. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity to tell people about the great truth of who Jesus is and the difference he makes to our lives. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. We're not saying that I'm better than you. We're not saying that we're right, you're wrong. It's simply holding out to people Jesus as the light of the world. It's inviting people to take seriously a message maybe they've never understood or maybe they've dismissed in the past. This is the way of being a disciple. It's the way of following Jesus. It's the way of taking up our cross and following him. Do you remember what Jesus said to those first fishermen on the shores of Galilee? Leave your nets, come and follow me. Jesus is still asking that of us. Will we come and follow him as a disciple? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for these words of Jesus that we read in the Gospels. Lord, 2,000 years later, they still challenge us to the core. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, would you please help us to live for you in this world? Lord, it is not easy following the way of the cross. It is not easy serving you and following you. Lord, please give us the words to say to those who ask us for the reason why we believe. Give us the courage to take a stand. Give us the courage to shine that light in often dark and difficult places. We thank you for all those who have gone before us in the life of faith. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that inspire us and encourage us. We just thank you for those who shared that message with us. Maybe parents or grandparents. Maybe teachers or ministers. We thank you for all those who told us about the Lord Jesus. And we want to pray in faith that as we reach out to those around us, many others would have their eyes opened and follow Jesus for themselves. And Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.